about, you know, the pig roast that we do and so on and so forth. You know, you would think after, I think it's 11 of them, that we would get something down, you know, but the pig usually loses every year. He doesn't make it, okay? And so we hopefully learn a little bit more each year, but the main thing, all it ever was to do, was to bring everyone together in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's all it was about. And it started out as a thank you because, you know, people had helped us move down to where we were at from the north. And I thought, well, it was just a concentrated way of having everybody over. And so it was fellowship. And so that's who gets the credits, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is because of him that we're all here this evening. And we come here expecting something. And I do too. And I do too. And I always feel welcomed and feel that love. And I always feel, you know, that peace. And that comes from the knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I had didn't think to bring with me this little manual, you know, and it was something I threw in my briefcase to have for handy knowledge, this, that, and the other. And I got to thinking about it, you know. And it's rather a manual on just about anything, if you will, that you want to think of, from soup to nuts, on how to figure this, that, and the other. And, you know, it has maybe a calendar in it, and they were passing these out at work, and boy, this is a handy thing. And looking at all that's in there, there's North American area codes, there's military rank in the Air Force. You can go to World Electric Connectors. You know, this would be really good for overseas, and so on. What kind of shape they are. Hand signals for a crane and a hoist. Now, many of us may not need that. Some of us do. Chemistry and physics. You know, sheet metal screw specs. There was one even in here for what type of hairspray to use, and fingernail polish, which I really don't think I need that one, and so on. Fire extinguishers, and you say, you know, what has this got to do with the gospel of Christ? But you know, I got to thinking of that, and the Lord provides us a lot of similitudes, and we have two of the most valuable reference books that have ever been put before our eyes. And you know something? There's everything in there that we need. There's everything we need in there to figure out. There's not an answer or a question that any of us have, that God does not have an answer for. There's not a question that God does not have an answer for. Where the question really lies is, are we willing to accept the answer that he gives? A lot of times it's just because we don't have the stamina, the strength, or so on, in order to receive what he gives. And so, you know, we always like to receive a pleasing answer. We always like to receive something that agrees with our thinking, don't we? Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is no. You know, and that's the way it could be. But you know something? I was thinking of a piece of scripture as I was looking at that. I hadn't intended on this, but it's in 2 Peter in the first chapter. If you'd like to follow along, 2 Peter, first chapter. The third verse. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. He's given us all things. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Boy, that's a pretty tall order, isn't it? And isn't that a wonderful thing to think about, that we could be a partaker of the divine nature through the knowledge of him that's called us? having escaped the corruption that is into the world through lust. And I'm always amazed when the Lord, through His Word, He puts, you know, let's just say the bondage of sins and things like that, how it's a bondage. It's the biggest ball and chain we'll ever carry around. Escaped. You know, there's we have prisons that hold people and they're pretty good at keeping them there. You know, I've got better at doing it for all over these years and so on and so forth. And they try to escape. Many of them, of course, they've made them so good and so cushy in a lot of places that they don't want to. And a lot of times they're trying to get in. And that is the truth. But here we find where they have escaped the corruptions in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. To patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Now, these are things that you just can't proclaim. You can't say, okay, all of a sudden I'm all virtuous. I have all knowledge. I have temperance. I have patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. I can't just proclaim that. I can't just say that I am that now. And it's something I have to work at. It's something I need the power of God in my life in order to help me with day by day. And it comes by life's experiences, trials and tribulations, friendships, happy times, sad times, in order to be refined. There was a brother that called me. We were just ready to get in the vehicle. I had changed my clothes at work. And I was waiting outside for Sue and Emily, and we were going to head over to pick up Daniel and come to this reunion. And I got a call from an old elderly brother that had joined the church here. And that's going on 2 years now, I think. And wanted to let me know how he was doing. And he feels so blessed. He feels so blessed that he found the Church of Christ. He was so blessed. And one of his experiences, and he was talking with another brother, and he says, "Why does the Lord have to try us so hard? I don't understand." He said, "You know, why does the Lord have to try us so hard?" And this brother told him, he says, "You know, it's just like the refining of gold. And it's like the refining of silver, like it talks about in the book of Malachi. And he puts us through his trials and tribulations in order to refine us. To take out the impurities. And it takes to be put through the fire of many things and the life's experiences." You know, I was thinking today, and I wanted to make this statement, and especially, you know, I'll tell you, the younger people among us. There's the seasoned among us. I don't want to call people call old. No. We're not called old, because you know something. I'm getting there, and I got to watch what I say too. Seasoned. Become seasoned. But to the younger people here, you know, the destination we is eternal life, and the Lord Jesus Christ paved the way that we might inherit that eternal life. But you know something? It's about the journey. Because if you don't make the journey, you won't reach the destination. And the destination, according to all description, is beyond all that we could imagine and ever hope for. And more than we can imagine. But it's about the journey. And you know something, you and I, we're here tonight, we're learning about making the journey. And we're studying about making the journey. And of course, you know, we were using our map as we're going here today and so on. We knew pretty much the way, but once in a while you check it. But more so, we should be checking the road map that our Lord has put before us. You know, we have the Bible and the Book of Mormon. We have two more than reliable, but has proven the test of time, information that we need to check into that to guide and direct us. Now, he says here in the 7th verse, I hope you held your finger there in 2 Peter, actually 8th verse, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So these are things that we need to be working on too. "But he," he says, "lacketh these things, is blind and cannot see afar off, hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things," he says, "you'll never fall." And so, I just wanted to share that with you. I've had many thoughts, I believe, that were given to me, and I want to share them with you. And the power of knowledge and assurance and all the things that we know about in our Christian walk bring so much to us. And taking account of them in order to realize. When I say about your blessings, people say, you know, that where have I been blessed? And you know, sometimes you just need to sit down and take a look. Realize. And sometimes you pray about it. Oh, Lord, can you help me realize? You know, maybe I've got an unthankful heart. Maybe I just can't see afar off to realize. You know, you've blessed me. And there was a piece of scripture that I was given as I was working along there at work, and I would like to take a look at Colossians in the first chapter. Colossians in the first chapter. And I'd like to read in the 23rd verse. And he tells us that if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, where I, Paul, am made a minister. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. And so the two words I'd like to bring out this evening, especially, is being grounded and settled. And because you're grounded and settled and you've realized so many things, you know about and have been assured of many things, and you rely upon them because you've heard the word of the gospel and have been grounded, and you know you've settled it. You've settled it. Because you believe. If you didn't believe, why would you be here? You believe. And you have received the calling of the Father to the side of His Son, Jesus Christ. Through His Son, Jesus Christ. You've heard the calling of the Father and you're here. But being grounded and settled. So there's so many things that a richness and fullness of knowledge. Now, of course, we don't know everything. And we're working on it, and we're studying and fellowshipping and worshiping together, and we're upon that path, and we're on the journey together. But there's so many things that we have been assured of, and you don't question it anymore. No, of course we would like to go on. We're going on into perfection, and we're also learning together, and we're certainly. You know, we're not going to know all things. Certainly not, you know, all things there is to know in this life and in this world. You know, I showed you this little manual. And it's got a few things in there for reference. And I'll tell you what, it prints quite small and there's quite a few things in there. I could show you a machinery's handbook that we use where I work. And that floor, that thing's about that thick right there. And there are things in there that I won't hope to get to, and I'm not going to. But we're constantly wanting to be edified, and we're studying because, you know, he's commanded us to study, to take a look into the Word. You know, he told Timothy, you know, that the workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word. And so we're studying to rightly divide the Word, you know, finding those gems in the Scriptures and enlightening our understanding. You know, I've been in the gospel many years, and not as many years maybe as some that are here, and and there's definitely, you know, more knowledge probably in a lot of you than there is with me. We're sharing an appreciation together. We're looking for those gems in the gospel, and we're going on to appreciation is what we are doing in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we're continuing in the faith, grounded and settled, and not to be moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. And so, and first of all, I'd like to make a couple of statements to you. One is accepting God's word as authority, and his gospel answers all of life's most important questions. Why am I here? Who am I? Am I special? Each of us like to know. And there's so many more. That's just a couple that I come up with. But there's so many more that we may have in our life. You know, we want to know about there are people that have questions in their mind about this, about being created. How about the evolution question that we have in the world today? And our children are having to wade through this horrible theory. And but there are so many questions like that. When we embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we are studying and hearing the word and fellowshipping one with another, that we clear up those questions that can be crucial. And God's word needs to be an authority in our life. Now, the other statement I like to make is that we live by the values we hold to be true. We live by the values that we hold to be true. They guide, they shape, and they mold who we are and where we will go in life. So we have that set of internal rules, each of us, that we have received, you know, by our association with what we've come in contact with. And you have come in contact with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the word of the eternal God. And so it is shaped, you're molded, your values, which is going to guide where you're going to go in this life. And your life will go by the decisions that you make. Is that not true? Life is full of decisions every day. And there can be a fork in the road every day. Or there can be that straight and narrow path that we are to be on. Grounded and settled. Be not moved away from that gospel that you have heard. So we need to be settled in the right things. And that especially is Christ's gospel of the Father. And there will be times in our life when we'll be challenged on our beliefs. Isn't that true? Have we been challenged on our beliefs? That's true. We've all had times when we've had that question and you've been challenged in whatever way. Sometimes the challenge comes from yourself because of a trial or a situation, because maybe one of life's calamities. Hard times, even happy times, and can challenge your belief and challenge your faith because of sad things or hard things that come into our life. And so being, you know, grounded and settled, even with sad times, you know, being grounded and settled and realizing the presence of God in your life to receive comfort and direction and knowledge By being grounded and settled, you can receive comfort. Many people that don't embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ, that don't know about Jesus, or involved in the world, or is blind, like they said in 2 Peter, because they don't lack that those gospel principles in their life, don't have the presence of Christ through the Holy Spirit. How are they going to receive comfort? How important can comfort be? How about direction? There is spiritual knowledge that is given to us. And Jesus told his disciples, didn't he, that he would bring back to our remembrance the things that he said he had taught them, but he will bring them back to our remembrance the things that we have been taught. How important and when are they needed? And in through life, and on that path, and on that journey, how important is direction? It is all important, isn't it? And so we need the right type of direction. And so Ephesians 6:13, I would like to turn there for a moment. He says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." And when is the evil day? Well, Jesus Christ told us, he says, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." It could be each day. It could be. And so we're trying to put on that gospel armor. We should learn about what that is and how to put it on. And as we realize our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and so on. You talk about putting it on. And we can help and share with one another to help them put it on. As we share our faith, they witness our faith. We example our belief. As others may see how we live our life in faith, there are things that you may do. I've witnessed people that walk along on an assurance, and they are very faithful people. And I believe that we're all commanded to have faith, but the Scriptures says that exceeding great faith is a gift. And I believe that we see those example, that great faith, our brothers and sisters. We see those that maybe excel a little bit more than others, because people have different gifts. He gives them severally or differently, if you will. We believe that there are gifts. Do you believe that God gives gifts? Are you assured of that? Yes, we are. That's one of those things, isn't it? If we're grounded and settled in the gospel, we accept those things. We've witnessed them. We've felt them. And we have testimonies of things that we cannot explain that we've witnessed. Because we're grounded in the gospel, we believe in spiritual things. And live by faith, and that is evidence. And others see that, and it is also exampled. But if you weren't grounded and settled, it's nonsense to the world, isn't it? It is nonsense to some people that don't understand, to appreciate, and to know what brotherly love and brotherly kindness and what faith and belief is. And it takes those things. But about being grounded and settled, and don't be moved away from the gospel. There are things that we accept, and you are building in your Christian walk. We are maturing. We're going on to perfection. We're going on unto perfection. And we learn those things. And so he says, we're taking unto us the whole armor of God to be able to withstand. To withstand. There are some paramount things, and there's a few things that I'm sharing with you, and there's certainly not all. There are so many because we are grounded and settled in His Word and in His Gospel and in faith and belief that we accept. And I certainly cannot list them all. And there are certainly many things that you have in your life, in your Christian walk, that you accept and you walk in belief of it because you're grounded and settled. And I am grounded and I'm settled, and like it talks about in being a new creature. One thing very paramount, being a new creature created. I would like to take a turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And you know something? What that means to me, that it changes my whole outlook of life, being in Christ. Decisions I make, the places I go, the people I associate with, my finances even. The finances. If you don't have Christian principles in your walk in life, we see and witness every day of those and what they may do with their finances, their life, their goals, the design of how they get it. There are those that get it by very unscrupulous means, you know, their finances and so on, and their goals. Where are their goals aligned? I believe that I'm a new creature. Do you? Is that settled in your life? Are you grounded with that? Do you believe that you're a new creature created in Christ Jesus? Your whole life should be changed because of that. That is the decisions that you make, the values that you hold. Remember the things I talked about in the beginning? The values that we hold that shape and mold our life, the design of who you are. You are designed. Realizing that you're also, that you're created. You know, that you are intelligently designed. And that answers that life question about the evolution thing too, didn't it? They're designed. There's a master designer. If there's a work of art, and the more and more the science looks into how complex the human body is, and even to the smallest of parts, to the eye, to the hair, to the feet, so on and so forth, the more they cannot explain it, and the closer that they take a look at things, the more they realize of design. In order to be of an intelligent design, there must be what? A designer. In order to create an artwork, there must be the artist. And very, very basic, thing to appreciate that. But to realize that. There's a very foundational thing if you don't believe that you're created. And that there is a God in heaven that loves you. And has created all things for us to see and to hear and to taste and to touch and to especially his gospel, that he may reclaim us from an eternal separation, creating us for salvation. And so I believe that I am a new creature. What were you like before you accepted the gospel of Christ? Before he came to dwell in your life, the presence of the Holy Spirit. What could life be like? That's a question I just don't want to fathom, being without Jesus Christ. I see things in the world that are very sad. I see lives that are very sad. You do too. You see them with a life without Christ, and they need Christ. They need that gift of eternal salvation. They need to make out that eternal salvation. There are so many things. There's such you want to know what you do know. We may sit back and say, "What do I know? You know, I don't know anything. How could I teach anybody else? How could I do anything? How could I I've not studied enough, and so on. Start explaining it to somebody that doesn't know. You'll know in a real hurry how much you know. Oh, sometimes we stumble all over ourselves, you know. But there are times just, you know, you're buried in the right place at the right time, and God fills you with His Holy Spirit that does the work. You'll be amazed. I have been amazed, because I'm not that smart. You know, I'm a man that goes to work, and I've learned what I do throughout the years, you know, not because I'm a greatly educated person or a philosopher, nuclear physicist, anything of the matter, you know. And I turn a wrench for a living and do the best I know how. But you know something? And we see so many people that are out of work today. We see people that are looking for jobs and places moving and changing careers so many times. And in the 26, 27 years that I've been in the trade, the good Lord has kept a roof over our head. And He's always provided for us. And He gets all the honor and the credit and the glory for it. It is certainly not because of anything that I have done. He gets all the credit and the glory. And I'm grounded and settled with that. Because in these trying times, and especially today, and things are going to get worse. We're on the threshold of a tribulation. Times are going to get rougher. We're seeing it. And we need to be assured and be grounded with the fact that our Father in heaven is going to take care of our every need as we proceed. And we need to proceed together on this journey. We need to proceed together. And we need to have faith in that He's going to do that. He will. He will. If you let Him. If you let Him guide and direct your life. We know sometimes when we try to handle things ourselves, when we know that we need to turn it over to God, that we're all capable of fouling it up ourselves, aren't we? I know I can. I turn it over to the Lord and see how it works out. But yes, we are a new creature. I'd like to turn with me, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And because of being a new creature created in Christ Jesus leads me to what Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 has to say. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, we've got to be careful that we're not wearing camouflage out there in the world. We've got to be careful that we're not wearing that worldly camouflage, you know, trying to blend in, that we won't be embarrassed, that people will not suspect that we're a Christian. Jesus told us not to put that light under the bushel. Don't put it under the pile. But presenting our bodies, that living sacrifice. Now, this is saying a whole lot. Now, He wants us to present it holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. What is He willing to give you? Why, He wants you to inherit eternal life. He's got a crown in heaven reserved for you. That's what He's got for you. He's got a crown reserved for you. There's a reservation there for you. You need to call ahead for it. You need to live for it. Let Him know. Keep letting Him know you're coming. I'm on my way. I'm on the path. I'm on the journey. I'm there with my brothers and sisters. Now they're coming with me. But there's a crown there. And that's called eternal life. And so he says it's our reasonable service. He talks about presenting this body holy, acceptable. And how is that? And we're learning how that about the acceptable things in our life, don't we? There are acceptable things that we should be doing and unacceptable things. And the gospel plan lays that out on how we should live a life. There are things that help us to go on to virtue, like he talks about in 2 Peter. There are things that help us to go on unto virtue. And first of all, they start very, very basic. And we're learning about those things together. There are things, you know, in showing brotherly kindness. He says, we have two great commandments in the law. The first of which, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and might. Second, like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. On these hang all the law and the prophets, he says. If we love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and might, how much does that take in? How much heart do you have? How much heart are you capable of? How much love? All your heart, mind, and might. And if you put God first in your life, then we are certainly that new creature. And we are being directed. A reasonable service, not being conformed to this world. We can't be straddling the fence. We can't put a saddle on the fence and saddle it and put the spurs to it. We can't do that. And he tells us in the book of Revelations, he would that you were hot or cold. He talks about spewing us out. Can't put a head on that worldly camouflage. But we're supposed to have a fire and a zeal. And he says, I'm now moved by God's presence, the Holy Spirit. Understanding, you know something? Do you realize, and I'm sure you do, that in our lives together, the experiences we share, the scriptures we share, the sermons that we hear, are revealing to us the character of God. Revealing to us the character of God. He's teaching us how to meet Him. He's teaching us how to meet Him, and we're coming to meet Him, and we're keeping that reservation for the crown of life. It fadeth not away; it's reserved in heaven for you, He says. So we're moved by God's presence. You know something? I'm settled with that, and I've been grounded that we learn that presence of the Holy Spirit. That dwells with us, and I do not believe that it leaves. It's just I need to be in a condition to be moved by it. He says, Jesus said, I would not leave you comfortless, but He'd the Comforter to lead and teach. And He tells us not to grieve that Holy Spirit, whereunto you are sealed under the day of judgment, sealed to us. You enter in by the way. There's faith, repentance, baptism, laying on of hands for the reception of the Holy Ghost, resurrection, eternal judgment. I'm settled with that. I've got everything to win, and so do you, by living for that. If I don't live for that and I don't stay in the journey, I've got everything to lose. It's a win-win situation. How better could it be? When Ammon and his brethren were up and they were converting, the Lord was converting through them, they were working with the Lamanite peoples. And they went through many trials and tribulations, and they were thrown into prisons. They were delivered from prisons in very harsh conditions, and we read some of the highlights of those things. And when they had gotten done with that, basically, and they were basically headed home, if you will, and they had a chance to rather relate when they were gathered together as brethren. As to what things happened, and Ammon was carried away, saying how great things they were allowed to do, that the Lord had seen fit that these Lamanite people who were destined for damnation, if you will, were converted unto the Lord, and marvelous things had taken place, and he was carried away in joy because they've been used as instruments in the hand of the Almighty. Well, there was a miraculous conversion when they were going about earlier, before they had that desire to share the gospel, to destroy the church. They were going about with the desire to destroy the church. But the Lord seen fit that they were converted and they were used as powerful instruments in his hands. And you know something? You and I today can be fit to be molded for the Maker's hands if we're willing. We could be like a Jonah and want to do our own thing. If you have the desire to be in the right place at the right time, you can be utilized. We need to be put through the fire sometimes in order to be refined like the silver. That Jesus might see his reflection in our lives. Isn't that the truth? Yes, it is. In the Book of Mormon on page 344, page 344, this is the Book of Alma in the ninth chapter. There's some that have a Book of Mormon slightly chaptered a little bit different for whatever reason. But anyway. And nevertheless, in verse 16 or verse 15, Alma began to expound these things unto him, saying, "It is given unto many to know the mysteries of God. Nevertheless, they are laid under a strict command that they shall not impart, only according to the portion of his word which he doth grant unto the children of men according to the heed and diligence where they give unto him. Therefore, he that will harden his heart, the same receiveth the lesser portion of the word. And he that will harden his heart, to him is given the greater given the greater portion of the word, till it is given unto him to know the mysteries of God, until they know them in full. And they that will harden their hearts, to them is given the lesser portion of the word, that they know nothing concerning his mysteries." And then it goes on talking about the captivity and so on. The interest to learn. The interest to want to know. The Book of Mormon talks about another passage about the spirit of belief. The spirit of belief. And you can either lend yourself or be moved by the spirit of belief. Or we can reject it. We can push it out. What it is about that God has for you. And we can harden our heart so we may not learn. And what about the simple act of prayer, the desire of prayer? And it talks about in the Book of Mormon, it says, "The evil spirit teacheth a man that he must not pray, that he must not talk to his heavenly Father about his reservation, about talking to him about what the Lord wants to hear and what he cares about." Act of prayer. The Lord wants to know. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear your desires and your cares. He wants to know about your life. He wants to bless you. And he wants to speak to your heart and in your life. Yes, he does. And there are the mysteries of God. The wanting to know. Do you want to know? Do you believe? Are you grounded with the fact that as you read, that his spirit will pour it into your understanding and into your knowledge and into your heart? Are you settled with that? Are you grounded with that? See, that's some of the things that we know for a surety. You betcha he does. Here's something to think about. It talks about in 2 Peter, it says that holy men were moved by the Holy Ghost. Talking about the reception of the word. That same Holy Spirit, we have the prophets of old that we're moved to pen down these scriptures. Did you ever think about this? The word of God was received by what? By received by the presence of God, God talking to his prophets, his ministry, his faithful ones, and they wrote it down. By the way, the Holy Ghost, right? Okay. Doesn't it stand to good reason that as you and I read it today, that that same Holy Ghost, that same presence of God would be there, that you may have that understanding as it was penned down to the person that penned it down? Absolutely. Absolutely. The same Holy Spirit, the same God that helped them to pen that down is here today. And that's what leads me to another thing, that we serve an unchanging God. He does not change. In him is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. We serve an unchanging God. And today, they are teaching an evolving God. They're teaching a changing God. You look at the values, you look at the many things that are changing in the so-called Christian culture today. You read in your papers, look in the religion section, at so-and-so made this decision that they're going to change this. It's okay now. It wasn't okay yesterday, but it's okay today. The shifting sands of time and of man's intellect. God says, I change not. You know, and that's why I also grounded and settled, and I understand and I take stock in the fact in Christ's church. Now, I'm talking about the church of Christ, where we have the fullness of the gospel, and we have the Bible and the Book of Mormon that it says to lay down a contention and false doctrines. And I have joy in my Father in heaven that it is the same. That it teaches me is the same, and my God is the same, and his gospel is the same. And the way that that men have had faith throughout and women and children for generations and thousands of years, the same today. And the same way they came to him, and with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and those that were called of God were taking them down into the water, and they baptized them all the way. Of an age of accountability, of an understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and repentance from dead works. And they were wrought upon by the power of the Holy Ghost. They said they laid their hands upon them, and after having mighty prayer, and thus fell the Holy Ghost. And they lived by faith unto endurance, witnessing of good works, being resilient in the faith, being grounded and settled until the time that they are called to stand forth before the judgment seat of Christ. I am assured and I revel in my God that it is the same and it is will not change. And that's one thing we need to praise our God over. Are we grounded and settled with that? And we're just taking stock. And there's many, many more things that I know that you may be thinking of as even as I'm speaking, that you're assured of because you know of Jesus Christ and you know of the gospel of the Father that we are assured of. And I've settled it a long time ago that I've been wonderfully and fearfully made, as it says in Psalm 139:13. Wonderfully and fearfully made. And that I was designed as were as you. And I know that when I am called to stand before him, that is when the time when I will go. But you know something? I believe that we are to have a joy in the destination. But it's about the journey. And I realize and I have a joy and a peace and a happiness being in the body of Christ this evening. And I know this is where I'm supposed to be. And I have peace with that. And I'm supposed to have a joy about that, knowing of Him and knowing where I'm at and knowing I'm with you this evening. And we're proclaiming the Word of God together. And we're enjoying His Spirit together because He designed us for this time. And I rest with that. And you know something? I don't wish myself forward. I don't wish myself into next week. I don't wish myself any older. I don't wish myself any younger. I've got a particular number of gray hairs on my head. I don't wish for any more. I don't wish for any less. I am where I am, and I'm comfortable with that. And you know something? That our brother Paul, in the scriptures, he said, I've learned whatsoever state that I am in to be there with content. And our Lord has told us and witnessed that that's the way it should be. We're to be content. I've learned to be hungry. I've learned to be full. And I've learned to want, and I've learned to you know, I also learned that I should be humbled. And also got to learn that there are times that I can be right, and I've also got to accept the fact that I can be wrong. And that leads me to the side of my Savior, because that leads me to humbleness. I've got to learn that I can't be right in everything. And that is a cleansing joy that brings us closer to our Lord. And so, I wanted to just share a few things with you. And I'm settled, and I know that there is the body of Christ, and we are in it this evening. We're in the body of Christ this evening. And that we need to handle one another delicately and spiritually. And we're learning how to do that too. And you know, we make mistakes. And I know that I'm not perfect. But I'm trying to go on unto perfection. And I know that I need to live in the law of forgiveness. I've got to learn that I need to forgive. And I got to learn that I need to be forgiven. And that's part of the gospel. And I'm settled with that. And so there was as many things that I wanted to share with you this evening. And the scriptures, many things are delivered to mankind by the presence and by the moving of the Holy Spirit. There are testimonies. I've also shared with you my testimony this evening in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for your time, for your love, and for your prayers. Brother Brandon.